Oh God in heaven, I know that I can truly do nothing without you, and truly this is a work that only you can do, Lord, through the hands and through the agency of man, oh Lord, that you are willing to use us, oh God, that we thank you for it. We thank you and we humbly accept this endeavor. We accept this work. We accept anything that we can do for your glory, oh God, and asking you to help us as we go, that we would be doctrinally sound, and that we would be truthful and honest men and women of integrity, walking and living above reproach in every area of their lives. Thank you, Heavenly Father, now for this day, and help me, O God, as I attempt to bring forth a message, O Lord, that I believe is needed today. People need to hear these words, and I thank you for it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. So today is part 4, Hallmarks of the Redeemed. It is, in fact, the 9th fruit, and it is called temperance. But before we go there, I just would like to make mention that today is Baal Sunday. Today is a day where many, or most, churches, peoples throughout the world celebrate Baal. And this is where Nimrod, this was the beginning of this religion, when Nimrod married his own mom, and she became the goddess, the full moon goddess, Ishtar. And it all began there. It's a sort of a real weird and sordid story of confusion. And that usually is how religions begin, out of confusion, out of religiosity, void of the Spirit of God. Amen. So what I wanted to do was, before I proceeded with temperance, I wanted to go to 1 Samuel chapter 7. If you could go there with me, please. 1 Samuel chapter 7. First of all, what I would beg people to do is do some research, as I myself am doing all the time, on the backgrounds of some of these things. I know that these same people who worshiped Ishtar and Baal and all these things also included temple prostitution and child sacrifice. And I would ask people to consider that. Consider what they're doing. Consider who they worship. Consider the background and the origins of what they're doing and with whom. So why don't we go to 1 Samuel chapter 7 verse 3 real quick. And it says here, "And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtoreth, and among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." And we know that the Lord had delivered Israel out of many, many, many predicaments. From the Philistines to the Amorites, and all of those deliverances from Egypt and all those other areas, and how that they continued to sin before God. They continued to reject God. They continued to follow after other gods. And how that the Lord was continually merciful. Finally, one day he said he had had enough. And that was it. He would no longer hear them. But that they were to go to their gods and ask the gods that they have chosen to deliver them out of their troubles. You see? Rightfully so. But why don't we go then to Judges chapter 10, verse 6. Judges 10, 6. If I can find it, here we go. I'm getting there. Judges 10:6. And it says, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam and Ashtoreth, and the gods of Syria, and the gods of Zidon, and the gods of Moab, and the gods of the children of the Ammon, and the gods of the Philistines, and forsook the Lord, and served him not." And it goes on to say how that the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And this was where, if you go down to verse 14, and it said, "Go and cry unto the gods which ye have chosen, let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation. And the children of Israel said unto the Lord, 'We have sinned. Do thou unto us whatever seemeth good unto thee. Deliver us only, we pray thee, this day.' And they put away the strange gods from among them and served the Lord. And his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel." You see, people cried out to the Lord, but the Lord was always merciful, wasn't he? So gracious and so kind. Always came back, finally, and sent a deliverer. Sent a deliverer, always. The Lord is so gracious to us. How could we but not serve the living God? How could we walk in this earth and put our eyes upon strange gods and goddesses like Ishtar or Easter, Baal, the moon goddess, all these things that have nothing to do with the resurrection? Amen? And I know in Isaiah, where is this? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 14 says, "Wherefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry." That is idolatry, folks. And we need to stay away from that. Yeah. Amen? We don't want nothing to do with that. So, why don't we begin? I wanted just to say a few words on that today about Easter, Ishtar. Why don't we go to Job chapter 12? Job chapter 12, verse 23-25. And while I'm waiting, I just want to make mention that what does it mean to have the virtue of temperance? It's one who masters the desires and passions, especially the sensual appetites. Where this virtue subsists, temptation has little influence. But Job chapter 12, 23-25, we know that individual responsibility is dead, and self-control is a foreign term, even to those in the justice or just us department system in the U.S. Isn't that right? But I'm assuming everyone is there now. Let me just read. And in verse 23 it says, "He increaseth the nations and destroyeth them. He enlargeth the nations and straighteneth them again. He taketh away the heart of the chief of the people out of the earth and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. They grope in the dark without light, and he maketh them to stagger like drunken men." You see, because they don't have the power of self-control, strength of character, or the light of God in them. You know, I remember how that I had seen some photos of Bush, President Bush. He was talking on the phone, but with the other end. The end of the phone that he should be talking to was in his ear, turned upside down. I thought that was rather interesting. These people that have given their lives over to other gods and have forsaken the true God, they become reprobate. They don't know what they're doing anymore. They become blind and deaf. I remember how that he had a pair of binoculars, and he was looking through the pair of binoculars with these military advisors through the wrong end of the binoculars. He had them turned around. And that how that he was reading these books upside down. I don't know. It's pretty amazing to me. Why don't we go to Proverbs chapter 16, 32. Proverbs 16, 32 says this. He that, and after Proverbs 32, we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 59. But in Proverbs chapter 16, 32, it says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. How important is it to have temperance? Well, it's more important than he that taketh a city. That's how important it is. When you have temperance, I'm reminded of how that Paul, I think it was in Acts of chapter 24, verse 25, I believe, if I remember correctly, how that he was being accused. Why don't I just go there? Acts chapter 24, 25, I believe. Let me see here. Okay. Yeah, praise God. Well, back up to 24. And it says, and after certain days when Felix came with his wife, Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way. For this time, when I have convenient season, I will call for thee. I'm just reminded of how powerful it is when we have the hallmarks of the redeemed living within our hearts. When we have these the fruits of the Spirit operating in us, we have gained the attention of all those around us. We are able to gain the attention of rulers and kings and all those in high positions. We're able to make a difference because our life speaks. It's the fruits of the Spirit in our life that speak volumes to those, whether we say it in word or deed, but it comes across. It's going to. It can't help but come across when we live that way. Amen? And in Isaiah chapter 59, 1 through 4, it says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities or lack of self-control have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue hath muttered perverseness. Let me just turn over. Isaiah 59:4 says, and none calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. You see, these are people who need help. These are people void of the Spirit of God. These are people that are void of temperance. I remember, I had done some research, and there's many stories out there that a person could draw upon. But there's this one story here talking about Texas cops that tickets thousands of school children to raise revenue. You see, these are people, before I even get into that, that don't know the right way, that don't know the true way of God. These are people that are lost and void of the Spirit of truth. And just a few examples here, if you can, if you will listen. It just says, and some as young as 6 years old for acting up in classrooms, between $250 and $500 for each student that they press charges. In Houston alone, over 5,763 tickets were written. You have another situation. A district attorney who persecuted Paris Hilton for cocaine possession was himself arrested for cocaine possession. You have U.S. and France call for the strengthening of the U.N. IMF currency, known as special drawing rights. The march continues toward a single global fiat currency as the death of the dollar nears. These are things that are happening every day, that the insanity of it all. You know, the U.S., to reach its debt limit, may be by May 16th of 2011. Well, that's already come and gone. No, wait. May is coming. We're in April, right? May is just around the corner. To the tune of $14.29 trillion. Timothy Geithner, in a letter to lawmakers, warned military pay, social assistance payments, and tax refunds could be among the first things to be blocked. I mean, there is just one chaotic situation and problem, one after another. I was talking with Sam the other day, and we were talking about the debt of our country. And we were talking about these things, but if I did a little bit of research, and if you do it, and if you think about the debt in seconds, this is, if you can just kind of wrap your mind around this a little bit, it's 1 million seconds comes out to be about 11 and a half days. 1 billion seconds is 32 years. 1 trillion seconds is 32,000 years. 14 trillion seconds is 448,000 years. If you were to, I know that here, if you were to wrap or put $1 trillion of $10 bills taped from end to end, they would wrap around the globe 380 times. 14 trillion would wrap around the globe over 5,320 plus times. That's an amazing amount. Just think about it in those terms. But there is so much more happening. So much more chaos. Human trafficking continuing on another scale of unscrupulous politicians and doctors, psychiatrists are continuing making themselves rich by exploiting the vulnerable, the sick and the weak, the aging, the children, who become wards of the state. And then you have the problem with fluoride in the water. You have the problem with all these issues. You see that you have these phosphate mining companies who develop this hexafluorosilic acid that's mined from rock matter. And it's a mineral that they use. But instead of, they used to let it go through smokestacks from the mining companies, whereby they soon found out that the vapors from these smokestacks were killing animals and plants around them. Cattle, plants, all of that stuff was being destroyed. So then they repackaged it. They found a way to stop that part of it, but then they just repackaged it and they decided to sell it to local towns and cities. And instead of this chemical hazardous toxin being destroyed or put away somehow, they have decided to sell it for profit to local towns and cities and relabel it fluoride and pass it off as being healthy for your children. for your teeth, for adults. And how that you even see these water bottles that are all over the, wherever you go in supermarkets, you see they're trying to pass it off in their slick marketing campaigns. How that fluoride on these baby, these containers of water, which says fluoride on it, for babies to drink. It has absolutely nothing to do with cavities or teeth, but has everything to do with the mass poisoning of every man, woman, and child on the globe, especially right here in America. Fluoride, there was a fluoride spill in Illinois not long ago. I'm sure many of you already know about that. But suffice it to say, it began to burn holes in concrete on the concrete slab. I don't know if it was a parking lot or whatever it was. And when the EPA had regulated this as a hazardous waste. So when these people were called out to the site over in Illinois, they were in their hazard materials gear, their standard industrial standard chemical gear from head to foot. But yet, this is the very same chemical that they're dumping into our water supply that you and I would drink it. With no protection. I don't see them handing out gear for us. Do you? As of today, or the other day, Japan, the confirmed amount of those that are now dead in Japan are 14,208 people. There are still 12,384 plus missing. Those numbers do tend to fluctuate somewhat, but it's a catastrophic event one after another in these end days. And I remember reading an article not long ago how that these chemtrails were heavily over in Arizona, Phoenix as a matter of fact, on a clear blue sky, but yet they were seeing these little articles floating from the sky, and they were, as the sunlight was hitting these articles falling from the sky, they were shiny like snow. And what that was is all these chemical metals and mercuries and all these things that are falling from the chemtrails that are falling on into our water, the crops for food, onto people's hair and heads, on our pets, all over the country that this is going on. So yes, they are doing all they can to destroy because they're void of the Spirit. They're void of anything right, good, and true. Amen? The EPA plans to raise its radiation safety guidelines to allow much higher levels of radioactive contamination in food, water, air, and the environment. This is the same agency that said the air was safe to breathe at Ground Zero. You see, there are genetically modified organisms now found in 85% of processed foods. Viruses are frequently used to splice genes together. GMOs are not tested and virtually unregulated here in the U.S. I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on. But I think I should probably get on with the message. Also today, before I begin or further, we know that there's also a special attachment to electronics in this world. It's almost like an electronic morphine. People have to have their electronic fix with their computers, their iPods, iPhones. Speaking of which, iPods and iPhones are now being used as tracking devices for everyone who carries them. Everyone who carries them, there are special dates, maps, timestamps that are secretly hidden inside these IP phones to track the movement of the user everywhere they go and everything they do and say. Just food for thought. Why don't we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 through 5. First Corinthians chapter 10, 1 through 5. Brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, just like churches today. In verse 4 it says, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. That is a neat story. That's the gospel truth. The Old Testament parallels the New in so many ways. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. You know why? Because their carnal appetites were uncontrolled, and because of that, they were overthrown. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, it says this, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. And in Deuteronomy, go to Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15. Deuteronomy 28, 15. You see, they were overthrown because of presumption that led to neglect. There is a danger in presumption, don't you think? There's a real danger in that. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15. How these people have so quickly forgot the warnings of the Lord. But it says in 15, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. You see? Have we crucified the flesh? We all have choices every day. Through our mind, our will, our emotions. And if we're not careful, we too could be overthrown. Why don't we go to Isaiah chapter 53, 16. Isaiah 53, verse 6. Have you ever noticed that people have an uncanny propensity for error and forgetfulness? Well, we read here, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. How true is that? If we go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 5. 'We can only thank God for making a way for us from death to life. Lack of self-control will be very common in the end days, as we'll see. If we go to 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. It says this, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Have we seen any of that going on here lately at all? Anyone? Come ring a bell a little bit. Just a little bit. without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. And how many pastors hold the truth and unrighteousness out there by allowing homosexuals into their midst, allowing them to stand behind pulpits, allowing them to be in the forefront of the church, allowing them to be greeters and ushers? That's a profane thing. That's an abomination. That's complete ungodliness. They hold the truth in unrighteousness. I found out that there was a 17-month-old Peter Connolly was found dead in a blood-spattered cot, having suffered a broken back and fractured ribs. These are unnatural affections from people. They kill their own. They destroy their own kids. Another 4-year-old boy was found dead in a tumble dryer. I think of another incident. A 15-month-old Violet Mullen endured several weeks of sexual assault before she died at the home in Oldham. This was in the UK in 2010. In Oldham, in January of 2010, her injuries resembled those from a car crash. A serious case review made 90 recommendations and highlighted a string of mistakes by 11 agencies. It described how that the abuser, the boyfriend, Gary Alcock, and her mother, Claire Flanagan, were known to social services, but weeks before her daughter died, social workers visited the home and failed to ask why Gary Alcock was there at the child's home. He had that day beat her to death. The report said the death could not have been predicted or prevented. Really? Really? The child's killer was jailed for life on murder charges. The child's mother, who turned a blind eye, was jailed for only 5 years. This is unnatural affections. Amen? For the in Romans, just go to Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. I'm reminded of Kenneth Copeland, who has been found to be chanting the words I am, which is a Masonic initiation term. And he quotes the following, and I say this with all respect. This is Kenneth Copeland talking now. And he says, I say this with all respect so that I do not upset you too bad. But I say it anyways, he says. When I read the Bible where he says, I am, I just smile and I say, yes, I am too. That's Kenneth Copeland. During the ceremonies of the Masonic ritual for the Royal Ark degree, the candidate is asked, Brother Inspector, what are you? And he is said to reply, I am that I am. Kenneth Copeland is claiming to be God. Kenneth Copeland is also a 33rd degree Mason, was a protege of the 33rd degree Mason, Oral Roberts. Kenneth Copeland believes that God was gang raped and sodomized by Roman homosexual soldiers. Well, hey, If that were the case, the blood would be impure. We would be unable to be redeemed if that were the case. But that's not so. He's a liar from the pit of hell. The Bible never mentions anything remotely close to his claims, to anything Copeland says biblically. It's a big lie. We live in a world full of lies and deceit. We live in a world where there is lack of temperance, lack of understanding. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through 27. People stumble because of lust and greed. They are drowsy and they are asleep, drunk on the world, full of sexual sins and gossip and violent quarreling, false and careless speech. That's the kind of world we live in today. So I'm assuming people are at 1 Corinthians chapter 9 right now. I'll go ahead and read it. Know ye not that which they run in the race run all? But one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Did you see that? How important is temperance in your life and in my life? It says here, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. In other words, that's not as one who's doing it in vain. But I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Wow. Are we watching our lives today? If we tell someone that we are doing this or we should live that way, are we living that way? Are we being hypocritical in our actions or words, or are we true to what we talk about, preach about, teach, read? Do we let our yes be yes and our no be no? Do we mean what we say? Do we say what we mean? Do we have the God-like character in our lives? Do we possess those spiritual gifts, the spiritual fruits? Do we possess temperance within us today? So important. I'm going to go to Galatians 5. Go to Galatians 5, 16 through 26. Lord, help me. Galatians 5, 16 through 26. And it says here in Galatians, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, that ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past. Now listen to this, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Boy, now, have you Have you considered these words? Have you considered where your life is today? Have you done a check? Have you looked in the mirror? Are you in any way subject to these things? Or are you bearing the fruit of Christ? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another or envying one another. Amen. I believe there are three steps on how to overcome. Overcoming evil with good, loving one another, and putting on Christ. I'm not real big into these one steps, five steps, 10 steps type things, but we do have the Word of God. The Word of God teaches us. It shows us things, and we are to learn and grow and glean all that we can from the Word of God as it is taught in the King James Bible. If you go to Romans chapter 12, verse 17. Romans 12, 17. It says here, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. In other words, we are to regard good behavior, exhibit contemplated temperance and self-control in whatever we do. We are to exhibit that. We are to contemplate it, think about it, talk about it, encourage it, live it. That's how we are to be. The second step, I believe, is in Romans chapter 13, 8. To love one another. It says here, 13, 8, it says, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. This is the law that Paul talked about. If we go to Romans chapter 8, verse 4. Go to Romans 8, 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see, love in the Spirit fulfills the law. Something the law cannot do itself. Did you know that? If you go to Romans chapter 13, 9 and 10, it says here, for this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. You see, there cannot be self-control or temperance without love. Love promotes obedience and self-control. Two together constitute the law of Christ. Did you know that? These two constitute the law of Christ. Love and obedience. If you go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. In And I just, again, like I said, I wrote down three steps. And the third one, if we go to Romans chapter 13, 11 through 14, is putting on Christ. And it says in verse 11, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chambering or wantonness, not in strife or envy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." You see, there should be no room in our lives for the worldly conduct that you see everywhere, even in churches today. I've been to churches where you see women dressed in these mini skirts, tempting men beyond, sometimes beyond their ability. Men cannot keep their eyes off of these women who are alluring these men, and it, perhaps vice versa in other ways that men do to women. I don't know how that works, but I'm sure it happens. All I know is that there's a lot of worldliness out there. There's a lot of things going on in churches today where people are provoking one another, are tempting one another in an ungodly way. That's not good. Not at all, because we have to stand before God and give an account for that. You see, temperance should reshape and sharpen us. It is a development of God's own holy and righteous character. If we go to Ezekiel chapter 11, 19 through 20, Ezekiel chapter 11, 19 through 20. And it says there, "And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them an heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people and I will be their God." Well, praise God. I know that we have a world today that is completely out of control. We have a world where, in Florida, for example, they have a workforce agency. They spent $14,000 on public taxpayer money to give 6,000 red capes to the jobless in their capability challenge campaign. How about just finding them a job instead? Hello? Obama is pushing for a Chinese-style internet ID system. This is a program touted as the solution to online identity theft, which actually increases the risk of identity theft while providing the government with a national ID system through the back door, paving the way for a worldwide web in which users will need government permission to access the internet. It is called NIST, which stands for National Strategy for Trusted Identities in Cyberspace. With little protection, this will be used to access a myriad of data, including tax returns, health info, bank accounts, amounting to a passport for your entire life. Obama also, the so-called peace candidate, approves the use of killer predator drones in Libya. Drones are killer unmanned aircraft. They are armed with two Hellfire missiles and can stay in the air for as long as 24 hours. Well, folks, that's where our prayers need to be. Our prayers for a different world, for temperance, for the Spirit of God working in us, should be going up 24 hours. Instead, the world is out there 24/7 looking to destroy this world, looking to destroy you and me, looking to destroy Christianity, looking to destroy all that is right and good and true and full of the Spirit of God. That's the kind of world we live in today. And what are we going to do? We have choices that we have to make. Are we going to succumb to that, or are we going to read and study and learn and grow as the Word of God teaches us to do so? Temperance is most important, certainly not the least of the nine spiritual fruits. It's not the least. It is just as important as the other eight. It is therefore incumbent upon us all to seek to live a life full of temperance, to seek to live a life full of the other spiritual fruits that the Lord has given to those who have yielded themselves to Him, who are pruned, who have their lives tilled and plowed. They have broken their fallow ground, that the fruit might grow all the more in their lives. When you are chastened, when you're corrected, when you're rebuked, you should accept that. That is something that we all need today, that will be sharpened, that will bear more fruit, that will strengthen our resolve to live a good and godly life. A life without rebuke. A life without contempt. A life that is above reproach. Yet we are held as contemptible in the world's eyes. We are truly in favor in God's eyes. The way up is the way down. When you're on your knees, and when you're pouring out your life and your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, the way to live is to die. Die to the world. Die to sin. Die to the flesh. Die to the devil's deceits, deceptions, allurements of the world. So praise God. Why don't we just pray? And this is the end of Hallmarks of the Redeemed, Part 4. It's been a shorter version this time. But why don't we pray and ask God to help us? Heavenly Father, O God in heaven, thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a spiritual resolve to move forward, to move ahead, and to not look back, to put our hands to the plow, to go to work for you, O God, to not regret or be ashamed of being a Christian, but that we would be, that we would hold our heads high, that we would seek after thee, O God, to walk humbly, to live according to your word, the truths of God's word, that we would yield our lives completely and wholly unto the Spirit of Christ, who would come and quicken us and lead us and guide us into all truth, that we might live a life that glorifies God Almighty, that we might live a life that is yielded unto the Spirit of God, not after the flesh, not prideful, but that we would rebuke all such pride, that we would rebuke all such sin in our lives, that we would welcome the Spirit of God, the correction that comes our way, the chastisement that was laid upon the Lord, that was done for us, we receive. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you've done for us. We thank you, Lord, for the shed blood on the cross, for all the work of the cross that you have done for us, and that you had risen again, that you stand risen, O Lord, full of victory, no longer on the cross, but Lord, you are the one true God, able to deliver, able to help, able to secure our place with you. Your hands, your ears, O God, your heart, the blood of Christ, O Lord Jesus, you have given all those gifts to us to do the work with our hands, to have ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart to understand, to do those things, O God, that are pleasing before thee. When you died on the cross and you yelled, O Lord, when you yelled and you gave up the ghost, that we could yell, O God, to receive, that we would cry out to receive the Holy Ghost. As you died and gave up the ghost, that we would receive it. I pray, O Lord God in heaven, that those who were listening online today and those that are here, those who would like to be filled with the Holy Ghost, those that would like to be filled with the Spirit, would truly yield their lives so completely that they can't help but receive the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God.